Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 6. Our focus is going to be in the first seven verses of Acts 6. This is God's Word. "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word.' This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, the first thing that I want us to see in this passage is that as the church was growing rapidly, church growth is normal. We should expect it. When it's not happening, one of the things that should occur to us is that there could be reasons beyond the sovereignty of God, not that it's not within the sovereignty of God, but in other words, if every time I fall downstairs, I just say, well, you know, that was part of God's plan. It was part of God's plan, but it may have been part of God's plan to teach me to look and see if there are toys on the stair and to consider putting a railing on the side. You know, I mean, that could be part of his plan. So gravity is part of his plan, and the fact that there's cause and effect as far as the choices I make, like looking where I'm going and that kind of thing, all of that fits within the sovereignty of God. But within the sovereignty of God, God gives us responsibility for certain things and holds us accountable for what we do. And when it comes to church growth, that is also true. We have to consider, if a church is not growing, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Because if we're neglecting some of what God says we should be doing, the solution is not to pray that God in his sovereignty will change things. The solution is to change things in obedience to the word of God. You with me? So in Acts 6, we see a picture of church growth. "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing," some would translate that multiplied. Previously, we're talking about addition. Later on in Acts, we'll still be talking about addition. But here, we could say the church was being multiplied. The number was increasing as people were leading other people to Christ. And the consequence of this was that everything went smoothly and everyone was happy. No. The consequence of church growth was difficulty. It was hardship. It was fresh challenges. If when it was time to be chosen for some sort of role of service or leadership in the church, you found that people weren't thinking of you, they were thinking of people they know that came with them, you might feel overlooked. slighted. And that's what happened here. As the number of believers was increasing, they were continuing to do ministry, including caring for the widows, feeding them daily, daily distribution of food. This was for those who were in need. It wasn't just a free lunch. Their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, Paul gives us some very specific instructions about who qualifies as a widow for this distribution of food. Not everybody does, and not all widows do. Okay? We're not going to focus on that this morning, but just suffice it to say that some of our current attitudes, not just within the culture at large, but within the church at large, are not biblical. Because the idea is that we're just supposed to give food to everybody, it's our responsibility, we're going to eliminate hunger. Let me just tell you something. We're not going to eliminate hunger. Okay? If any group tells you, you know, give to us and eliminate hunger, that group has not done their homework, and I don't like to give to people who don't do their homework. Okay? Say, well, we have enough food in this world being produced that everyone could be fed. Yes, we do. There is enough food for everyone to be fed. Wouldn't wipe out all the diseases and other things that take lives, but there is enough food for everyone to be fed. However, we are not in a position to get all of that food efficiently distributed to people in such a way that everyone is fed and no one is hungry. Not going to happen. The poor you'll always have among you, and the fact of the matter is, God gives us different responsibilities within the body of Christ and within our own family. I have a responsibility to provide for my family. I do not have a responsibility to provide for all families everywhere. Is that clear? That doesn't mean I'm not supposed to share with others. The Bible says I should do good to all men. But then it says especially to those who are of the household of faith. So my responsibility to do good to all men is not equal to my responsibility to those within the household of faith. And within the household of faith, my responsibility to provide for people who are able to provide for themselves is not there. My responsibility to provide for people who are not able to provide for themselves, but who are part of the family and have demonstrated their faith through good works, those people I'm supposed to take care of. And the body of Christ is well able to do so. But sometimes in a situation of church growth, new people come in and they get overlooked. Not because people are cold-hearted, but simply because, you know, we don't know those folks as well. I'm not sure where she lives. What was her name? That happens. And it happened in the New Testament. Sometimes people say, I want to be a part of a New Testament church. Which one? Corinth? Okay. Galatia? I mean, what do you really want? Well, I just want a church that follows God and believes His Word. Well, that's great. I'm with you. But the fact is, here in the book of Acts, early on, we see the church not only being persecuted, but we see the church experiencing internal friction. Because of growth, it comes at a price. Because of growth, we have people who feel neglected. And they complain. I don't think that's good. You know, the Bible says do everything without complaining. So these people clearly were in the wrong. And I think they should have just been told to change their attitude. Nobody owes you anything. Okay? You're new to this group. And I just think it's wrong for you to be complaining simply because you feel you're being overlooked. Well, that's not the attitude that the apostles took. The apostles, walking in the Spirit, responded to this by calling the church together and saying, guys, we are so sorry. We understand some of the Grecian widows have been overlooked. We feel terrible about this. We're going to redouble our efforts in order to make sure that we don't make that mistake again. We've got a new chart that's going to outline which of the apostles is going to carry the food to the widows and make sure that they get it. And I just want you to know we're going to do that. We're going to handle it. Okay? And we want you to know we're going to make sure we don't drop the ball like that again. Shame on us for not getting those new folks taken care of. Is that not what they said? No, they said it would be wrong for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait tables. Are you saying you're above that? No, we're saying that we've been called to this. Let me tell you something. It is impossible for anybody to do everything that needs to be done besides God. Okay? God can do it all. The rest of us have limitations.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
I have found from personal experience after decades of practice, it is impossible for me to be effective in two places at the same time. But some of us try and do that. We just think, oh gosh, I can do this. I'll do more. Just give me more. We are not called to do everything. We are not called to do everything. We are not called to do everything. The apostles didn't say, hey, we can do it. If we can handle preaching the word, we can certainly handle waiting tables. You know? Of course we can do that. They said it would be, let's get the wording, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait tables. They didn't say it wouldn't be right for us to wait tables. They're saying it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry that God's entrusted to us in order to do this. This is a perfectly fine thing to do. Jesus washed feet. Okay? The Lord of Lords washed feet. But he did it not just to make sure that everybody had clean feet. He did it in order to make sure that his disciples learned how they're supposed to care for others. And folks, the apostles here were saying we have a preeminent responsibility, and that responsibility is to preach the word. So rather than neglect the word in order to make sure that nobody's neglected in the distribution of food, we want you to choose some men who can take this responsibility on. And you know what? The ones they chose were an interesting group. Now here were the qualifications. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. They chose 7 men, and all of them had Greek names. In other words, the complaint was against the old guard. The complaint was against a bunch of Hebraic Jews who were overlooking the newcomers who were Hellenic Jews, Grecian Jews. All the people put in charge of this have Greek names. In other words, they didn't say, and we're going to make sure we have a Greek in the group. Okay? Make sure we have somebody who can relate to these Hellenistic Jews. They said, no, choose 7 men. And the 7 who were chosen were all from the newcomers list. That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. They said, okay, we're going to trust you new guys to do a better job taking care of our widows than we did taking care of yours. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wisdom? Because they didn't say, you know, well, let's see, 7. You think we ought to go with 4 Grecian and 3 Hebraic, or should we go with 4 Hebraic just to pacify the old guard, make sure people know we're not losing control here? And so I'm thinking maybe 4 Hebraic, 3 Grecian Jews. I mean, that to me, that would be balance. Don't you think? I've sat in those committee meetings, okay? I've sat in those meetings where they're trying to make sure, we want to be sure everybody's represented. We need a young person on the committee. I think we need somebody from the senior citizens group. Okay, I'm just looking at this. Pastor, I was looking at the list of nominees, and they're all younger people. I don't think that's good. We need to have some older people in there, you know, just to give wisdom and give counsel. And you shouldn't have anybody on the team who doesn't have wisdom. Well, that's a tall order. Well, read James 1. God gives wisdom generously to those who want to do His will. But when you and I really want wisdom, are we known for having wisdom? These folks not only were to have wisdom and be filled with the Holy Spirit, they were to be viewed that way by others. Okay? Typically, you'll hear this taught as two qualifications, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. But don't overlook the first phrase. Those who are known to be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. If a guy's got wisdom, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ doesn't know him yet, he's not the right guy for the job. But the ones who were called on were those who had been involved long enough that they were known for having wisdom and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now please notice, these deacons did not have to have the gift of teaching. That is a requirement for those who would be elders. But deacons do not have to have that gift. If you want the list of qualifications for deacon, you can look over in 1 Timothy. I'll read you what it says. Deacons are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives, or deaconesses, are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who've served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. The short form is given in Acts. And in Acts, the short form is very clear. They must be known to be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Okay? And obviously, if they're filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, they're willing to serve at a humble task, which is overseeing the logistics of a daily food distribution program. Thousands of people were in the church. Not all of them got in on the free lunch. Okay? But there was a daily distribution of food to the widows who qualified. And these seven guys are going to be responsible for making sure that was handled properly. How we handle charitable donations matters to God. How we care for those in need within the body of Christ matters to God. And if you and I want to be faithful, we've got to be willing to serve. But when they chose these folks, these seven men, one of them was not only a Hellenic Jew, he was a Hellenic Jew by conversion. God is enlarging the envelope here and preparing the church in Jerusalem for what he's going to be doing all over the world. It was totally believable that you could go from being a Gentile to being a Jew. They already had conversion. By the way, baptism by immersion was a part of that process if you wanted to be converted and be Jewish. They baptized. But the question would be whether you have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. Okay? The first step, the Holy Spirit here puts a guy who's a convert to Judaism into a position of leadership as a deacon in the church in Jerusalem. But pretty soon they're going to be hearing reports about people who had not converted to Judaism, but were becoming Christians. And there would be a serious debate, I mean serious division, over the question of whether or not you could be a real Christian if you hadn't become a Jew first. Read the book of Galatians, okay? God answers that question very decisively. But I want you to see here, there was already a stirring of the Holy Spirit in the fact that one of the first seven deacons who was chosen was a guy who'd been converted from being a Gentile to being a Jew and then had become a Christian. Now, the consequence of this was that they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. What is that? Well, we call that ordination. It is a way of publicly recognizing the special call of God on an individual's life and saying we are in support of this person's ministry. It isn't magic. And Paul warns not to lay hands on somebody prematurely. But it is something that is very beautiful and very right in the eyes of God. But who do we ordain? Not only who do we ordain, but who is allowed to do the ordaining? How are we going to decide what's right? I would implore you, if you care at all about this controversy, see what God says concerning who ordained and how the process was done. But here we have a picture of it where when the people chose the deacons, they were then ordained by the apostles to whom they'd been presented. The apostles didn't say, we're going to choose seven men out of your group. The apostles said, you choose seven men. They chose seven and brought them to the apostles, and the apostles invested them with authority. They did what they were told. They acted in obedience to the authority God had established. But the authority that God had established entrusted them with the responsibility to make choices. They made those choices and then submitted it to those who were in leadership. Those who were in leadership blessed the choice. I think that's a very nice picture of how this ought to work within the body of Christ. There ought to be the capacity for those in leadership to say to other people, you decide. And then the other people to be able to say to those who are in leadership, this is what we've decided. We're submitting it to you. And then those who are in leadership to say, praise the Lord, let's move forward. That's unity. That's humility. That's charity. That's the way it ought to be. So, they prayed and laid their hands on them, and so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. What a lovely thing. These were people who had been hostile. These were people who had been a part of a system that called for the crucifixion of Jesus. And now God was converting people who were as Jewish and old school as you could get, and people who were as Greek as a Jew could be. Okay? In other words, God was building a diverse community of believers there in Jerusalem, of people who came from different backgrounds, people who spoke differently, had different kinds of accents, different kinds of education, different kinds of customs. But what was bringing them together was that they knew Jesus. Folks, that's what's supposed to unite us. That is what makes us one. It's His Spirit in us that makes us one. Not where we grew up, not where we went to school, not our accent. What makes us one is the fact that God has chosen to redeem us and bring us into His family. And that is a beautiful thing.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.